Hello, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. Our paradigm shifter today is someone who's been through all kinds of levels of consciousness with her personal journeying and classes and amazing healing talents. And she's jumping into a whole new level of what is it to heal on this planet. And she's a purveyor of healing, and she's a person who's healing herself. And oh, I can hardly wait to talk to Suzanne Eder. Welcome to the show, Suzanne.
Thank you, Veronica. I'm so happy that we connected. Good to be here.
Yeah. Well, you were on our show, I think it was a couple of years ago, wasn't it? Or was it that long ago?
Probably around 2010, because I had just published my book in 2009. So
2010, that was 100 years ago.
Yeah, it feels like 100, doesn't it?
don't you feel like every shift in consciousness, every sort of new paradigm of thought that we go through, it's like, whoa, I can hardly associate with the other part of me.
That is so true. It is. It is. It feels like another lifetime.
And you are a purveyor of what? Creative consciousness. Is that what you would say?
Oh, I like the way you said that. A purveyor of creative. Well, certainly my world is one of understanding energy and consciousness, for
Where,
sure.
And who are you? Who are you, Suzanne? Where did you start out? Like, what did you start out being triggered into that? Or was it always something you wanted to do?
Do you know, a little bit of both. I mean, as a young child, I was very much fascinated with the idea of God and spirituality, and just wanting to kind of get that. Like, I was really asking those big questions at a very young age. Like, who are we really, and why are we here?
And were you raised in a religion or anything?
It was. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and that was just very unsatisfying for me. Extremely so. So I ended up not staying, you know, with the church. And then, you know, as I went through high school and college, that seeking part of me sort of went underground, and I focused, as many people do at that age, on, you know, grades and career and, you know, all of that.
Partying?
Not a whole lot. I was a pretty serious student.
Okay.
Well, I was very serious. A little bit of that, though. A little bit of that, for sure.
Well, I was also raised Catholic, and I think the one thing that I really, really love about it in history is that they talked about the unseen quite a bit, spirits and angels and saints and all that. So I really am grateful for that. But a lot of the doctrine was a bit much for us, probably.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a great point. Look, there's much, you know, there's much good in every organized religion. It just simply wasn't a good fit for me.
Well, I think when they're controlled by people, people seem to get in the way of that, don't they? Anyway, so I knew this because we have a wonderful mutual friend that you went through the Barbara Brennan Hands of Light school, didn't you?
I did. That was kind of the reawakening of that desire within me to know more deeply who I was, because in my late 20s, I went through a divorce, and it was right around the time that I realized that I hated my job too, and it was like, gosh, how did I end up kind of choosing the wrong man in the wrong profession? You know?
What was your job?
I was a CPA.
Oh wow, now that's different, huh?
Yeah, and I stayed in the corporate world for a long time. I ended up having, you know, really high level positions. I was on that corporate ladder climb, but right around my late 20s was when I realized and kind of admitted to myself it wasn't really what I wanted. And so that time in my life when I was just like unsure of who I was and how I was living my life, I started, you know, just opening up to a whole different way of thinking. And, you know, that was in the late 80s, early 90s when, you know, the New Age movement was really becoming, you know, widespread. There was the Human Potential movement, just a lot of new information on energy and consciousness and spirituality, and I just ate it all up, you know.
Me too. Wasn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I had started my own fitness studio along the way on the side, and I was loving that. You know, I loved helping people, teaching people. I loved getting involved with, you know, health and wellness. And so that interest in physical health and wellness just began to naturally expand into a more holistic view of wellness. And it was through that expansion process, you know, reading more books, going to workshops, that I discovered the Barbara Brennan School of Healing. And as you know, she was a NASA physicist who was just naturally gifted at sensing human energy fields. And so Yeah, so she wrote those couple of best-selling books, Hands of Light, Light Emerging, and they were the foundation of the school of teaching.
Did you
And I
love
was,
that class? Wasn't that quite a stringent course?
it was 4 years. It was
Mm-hmm.
very, and
And she put you through the process so that you could be what you were learning, right?
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It was very, it was very multidimensional. I mean, her focus was, when I graduated, I'm a certified, what she calls healing science practitioner, and the focus was primarily on physical healing. However, in the 4 years, it was clear that there's no such thing as purely physical healing, right? That any kind of imbalance that we experience exists on multiple dimensions of our being. So the part that actually interested me more than physical healing was this larger aspect of consciousness and intention and thoughts and how that creates and affects our physical experience.
Like beliefs and so on too, eh?
Excuse me?
Beliefs as well, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So that's the aspect of it that really fascinated me. After I graduated, I started seeing clients, and I had, had it was healing work done on a healing table. But what I learned was I loved the conversations with them before and afterward because, I could put my hands on them and have some effect on their energy field. But if they, walking out of my door, didn't begin to grasp the power of their own focus, the power of their own intention and thoughts and beliefs in sustaining that shift, then, what had I really done them any service, So I became more of a teacher. Helping them understand these various aspects of our existence. Barbara calls them dimensions. We live in four dimensions, one of which is physical, but the others are non-physical. And so it was helping clients understand that. And I became really interested in helping them just wake up to what they really wanted in and for their lives. And a lot of that centers around work and career, because that was my journey, shifting. I didn't particularly like to work that I loved. And, my secret longing had been to be a writer and a teacher the way Shakti Gawain was. She was another one of my early catalysts. I saw her at a conference and thought, oh, that's what I want. I want to be a writer. I want to be a teacher.
And for people who don't remember, she was groundbreaking with her book of creative visualization, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. Mm-hmm. She really was. And Living in the Light, several more. A lot of her books were bestsellers. And she was bringing to light this understanding of the non-physical realms and how they are, that's where the power is, that the physical is an outpicturing of the non-physical. So that whole orientation, which is 180 degrees from the way I had been raised, was just fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So do you have any exciting results that helped you reaffirm what you were doing? Did you have results with other people? And how about with yourself? Did you put yourself through it as well?
Yeah, I see my whole life as this. I feel like my own life has become an outpicturing of my intention to wake up to who I, to continue to evolve, to continue to wake up to who I really am. So, my most personal success, of course, is having left the corporate world intentionally, lovingly, to create a whole new way of working. I wanted to create a life that didn't revolve around 60-hour work weeks. And there was just a lot about the structure of my corporate life that wasn't nourishing and satisfying. So I have created a life now where I have quality time for meditating, for exercising, for journaling, for being with friends and my cats, for having relationships. I developed work that I love. I am writing, I am teaching, I am supporting clients, in profound ways, and it's so deeply satisfying. So I feel like that's my big success story. That I was able to create that consciously and using these principles that I now teach.
Wow.
The principles around intention and around focus and understanding the immense generative power of our thoughts and our beliefs and how to recognize that and how to shift that and how to navigate through all the emotions that surfaced, to go from employee with a steady salary to entrepreneur has been terribly frightening many times.
Yeah, I'm sure, hey?
Yeah, so learning how to navigate through those emotions has been crucial as well.
probably the fear of being an entrepreneur in this crazy society is one of the first places to go, eh?
Yeah, that's right.
And so you wrote your first book in 2009, and are you writing another book? I know you've got a wonderful e-newsletter.
Oh, thank you. You know, I do feel another book in me. Where I've devoted my writing in recent years was for my first online course, called Loving Yourself to Success and Fulfillment, because that's kind of the piece that has become my trademark, in a sense that I recognized in my own journey and working with clients that I could be teaching them all these cool techniques, you know, not techniques necessarily, but understanding about intention and thoughts and how to recognize limiting beliefs. And, you know, there's just all kinds of things that, you know, what does it mean to accept versus be resigned? I mean, there's just a whole lot of stuff, really cool, juicy stuff that we can learn. But if we're applying it from a foundation of not fully loving ourselves, not believing that we're even worthy of having a happy life, then it just can't work.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about karma or subconscious beliefs or lineage beliefs that are sometimes inaccessible or seemingly inaccessible to us?
Well, this brings us to the other piece that you and I talked about offline, which is divine opening. I have become, in my own evolution, a certified divine openings guide. And divine openings is a whole, it's its own evolutionary awakening process. And through that, I became, it was so liberating on so many fronts, one of which is this whole idea of subconscious beliefs, karma. With divine openings, I really gained a much clearer understanding that everything is vibration. Everything is vibration, which we knew, right?
Right.
Yet, we don't have to go digging for, oh, what might I have brought into this life from a past life, like, you know, what don't I know that I believe that, you know, that I should be digging for now?
Well, what is awakening?
Awakening is literally that. It's waking up to who we are, and it's a continual, ongoing process. It isn't like one day we wake up and we're done. It's really expanding awareness. I think, you know, we're just expanding our awareness of who we really are.
So would you say we don't get caught under the wheels of our subconscious hoo-ha so much anymore?
You know, I think we do. I think we use the term ancient mind. So obviously, because of one of the properties of energy, it's not discrete, right? Everything's interconnected. So absolutely, we are affected by ancient beliefs, you know, either from our own so-called past lives or from just collective consciousness, right? So there's tons of stuff, absolutely, that we're vibrating with without being fully aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just true. That's kind of one of the properties of energy. That's just how energy works.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, actually, I've done interviews with people like Barbara Han Clow, and she talks about how 11,000 years ago, there was this huge cataclysmic trauma on the planet, and we all have that trauma resonant within us. So it's like knowing that is a good way to look at it, not personalize it, you know, to denature it or to neutralize it. Does that make sense?
It does. It helps us. I think that understanding does help us to shift away from what might otherwise turn into self-blame. Now, this is one of the tricky parts about when we start to understand how we create our own reality. It's really easy to lapse into self-judgment and blame about that if we haven't created something wonderful yet. Yeah. So it is helpful to understand that we're all kind of plugged in to this ancient mind, as Lola calls it, which may have nothing to do with our own personal experience. Its origin may have nothing to do with our personal experience. But the thing where we get our power back, though, understanding that is helpful in terms of releasing us from self-judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But our real power comes in recognizing that, okay, my point of power is now. That what we call past, present, and future is all happening in this eternal now. And if my life isn't exactly as I want it to be now, there's a current vibration that is present within me that I can shift now. And yes, its origin, if you want to use the word origin, may be something from 11,000 years ago, or it may be something from when I was 2 years old, or, you know, in the paradigm of past, present, and future, its origin could be very old. But what's really important to know is that it's vibrating now, and is where I can shift it.
So that's a true healing consciousness right there, isn't it?
that's, you know, or in a way, again, I use the, with Divine Openings, we use the term, you know, it's waking. So it's an awareness. It's an awakening consciousness. It's becoming more and more aware of our power to create right now.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that the collective of our being, ancient mind, any mind that flows through us, has an awakening going on throughout itself already, and that if we're intending, we can catch it? Do you see what I mean?
I do. You know, it's interesting. I personally actually do think that. That's just my own personal opinion.
Right.
It feels that way to me. It feels like there's movement, there's shifting, there's opening, that it
there's a move afoot.
Yeah. So it feels as though it's in a sense more accessible now than maybe it has in our recent history, this awakening. But the part that I love about Divine Openings is no matter what's going on kind of in the collective, our relationship to that, it can still be powerful.
And is our option, you're saying?
Yeah, so we can choose, you know, we can choose to be awake. We can choose to keep growing and evolving and expanding no matter what's going on in the collective, that we have that innate, that choice, that power. So we can, we're not dependent on that there is this, what we, many of us sense as there is greater access, I think, to these higher states of consciousness.
I find it just hopeful when I'm watching a lot of people in pain. I'm just hopeful that it's going to penetrate, you know?
Yes.
That's all.
Well, yes, and I love that too. I love knowing, or at least believing, that that my consciousness, my choice about where I'm focusing and how I'm vibrating, it is feeding back into that collective, right? So each of us is making a contribution when we choose to be at peace, when we choose joy. Do you know, when we vibrate at those really high, pure levels, that we're part of the collective too. So we're influencing it in that direction.
I think that's true. I think we are making it change too, or whatever, giving it elevation.
Yes.
But what got you into Lola's program? This is for people who don't know. You better talk about who Lola is, what her name is, what's the deal.
Lola Jones is the creator of Divine Openings. And I know you know this, Veronica, because you've read her book. But the quick thumbnail of her background is that she, by self-definition, was a spiritual seeker all of her life, you know. And she went through a difficult time, I believe it was actually after 9/11, where, her business didn't go well. And, you know, she went through one of those deep introspective periods. And that ultimately led her to a 21-day silent retreat in India. And, when she was heading over there, she had a very clear intention within her that this is it. Like, I'm done seeking. Yeah, this is it.
And she also was very clear that she would do it. I think it's important for us all to remember, she would do it her own way. She would maybe hitch a ride on these various things, but she was on her own track and not particularly on one track or another. No isms, right?
That's right. That's right. And when she was there, you know, she had, I guess what many of us would call, an enlightenment experience. You know, she had sort of like Eckhart Tolle, in a sense. You know, you're familiar with how he just had a little woke up and saw things differently. You know, she had what sounds like a similar kind of experience during that 21 days, where she became, her awareness became so expanded, and she had she reached a whole new level of waking up, and she recognized that she had this gift of being able to affect others in that way, through intention, to create this, what she called, the field of resonance that helps others more readily shift their vibration in a way that helps them wake up. So she created what she calls Divine Openings, which has two components, what we call the grace piece, which is, you literally give someone, what she calls, give someone a divine opening, which is that you're really holding this intention for the energy to be so coherent that it's easier for the other person's energy field to open and reach those higher vibrations. So it's just opening to grace.
I love that. Years ago, Suzanne, when I went to buy a book, I would open it up and I would put it up against my head and my neck to see if it had frequencies moving. And if it didn't, I wouldn't read it. So when I got her book, I opened it up and it went, whoa. I went, all right, this'll do. I've read many a different book since, but there's that truth in them, isn't there?
Yeah. She's just, gifted at this, at this energy piece. Interestingly, in my own work, I drifted away in my own life and my own professional work from identifying as much with the energy piece. My coaching had become very, I hate to use the word practical, because it's not that it was ever impractical, but more focused on kind of the nuts and bolts of beliefs and thoughts and intentions. And I recognize the longing within myself to reconnect with my energy roots. Do you know that part of me that just loves learning about and growing into an understanding of energy and consciousness?
Yeah,
and
my guides like to call it, you're a frequency flyer, dear. So good. Yeah, this is wonderful. So what happened when you first met Lola? What happened when you went to her divine opening?
Well, first, I have to tell you this. I think it's kind of a funny story. Is before I found her, her book, I'd gone through a period of clearing out. My things weren't going well in my life, or not as well as I wanted them to go. And I recognized that I had gotten tangled up in listening to a lot of people outside of me and not going deeply within to follow my own. So I had devoted lots of extra time to, deep meditation, to going within, to letting go of all that I thought I knew, all that the experts said I should do to run a business. Just there was a lot of stuff that I was letting go of. And right in the middle of that deep introspective period, a friend of mine said, oh, Suzanne, you have to read this book. And I said, I'm not reading any books. I'm done. I'm not reading any more books. I've read all the books I need to read. I know all that I need is within me, I stayed on this path of not reading, just really consulting my inner guidance for everything. And a few months later, the same friend who lives in Key West, Florida, came to Delaware, where I live, for a wedding, and she stayed with me in my guest room. And one morning I came down for breakfast. She was still in bed, and she had left Lola's book on the table where I eat breakfast. And for those of you listening, Lola's book, the title is great. It's called Things Are Going Great in My Absence, How to Let Go and Let the Divine Do the Heavy Lifting. And I just was amused by the title. I was really drawn in by the title, frankly. And so I just, flipped it open and just started reading it.
And it seems apparently simplistic, which is deceptive.
Very deceptively simplistic, very deep and profound, however. One of her core messages is becoming your own guru, going deeply within for your own wisdom. And so her message resonated with exactly where I was at that time. And by the time I finished the book, I just already decided I'm going to the 5-day retreat. Like, it wasn't even an inner debate. It was just ongoing.
Me too.
Yeah, good.
Only I haven't gone yet, and you have.
Yes, I have. And it's wonderful. It's truly, the word transformative is used a lot, especially in my work, but it is. It's truly transformative. So I went to her 5-day in November of 2011. Mm-hmm. I was very keen on being there 11-11-11.
That was wise.
Yeah. And so at that time, she was initiating people at their first retreat to give divine openings. So when I left that retreat, I was what was called then a divine openings giver. And I was just then trying to figure out, how do I integrate this into what I'm already doing? Because there was such overlap. In other words, that what Lola calls the conscious mind piece of divine openings, which are all the teachings around intention, beliefs, thoughts, how to keep your vibration up. Like, there's a whole lot of teaching that helps you stay in the flow of grace. And a lot of that teaching were principles and things that I had already come to on my own, and through my previous studies. So I was grappling with how to integrate divine openings into the work that I was already doing. And just started, trying things. I started teaching divine openings classes, and my clients loved it. And so now my business has that huge component in it. And Lola, in fact, invited me to be part of her certification program team. There is now a program for which people go to become what's now called a certified Divine Openings Guide. Because she, you know, what she discovered was she was initiating a lot of people to be givers, but not everyone was out there communicating about Divine Openings in a way consistent with her message.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wanted to bring some consistency in how this was being used in the world. So she created the certification program, and headed by Donna Wetterstrand. And so there, I'm on the team, and I created wrote some of the content for that program. And
so what are the things that need to be consistent? What's different from, for example, Oneness Blessings, which I know was an impact as well?
Yeah, a lot of the teachings, so for example, one of the teachings is around karma, that, you know, when we're Divine Openings Guide, we don't talk about karma. We don't talk in terms of that being relevant. We talk about vibration.
Okay.
That anything that may be affecting us from our past life is vibrating now. So it's using new paradigm language. It's a way, so that's an example of a teaching, Divine Openings teaching, that she wants to be used consistently, because she doesn't want people confused. Well, is there karma or isn't there karma? Well, karma is a man-made concept, much like, you know, sin and punishment are in other religious traditions.
So it's just a way of describing the fact that we do have certain patterns running through our vibrational fields, right?
Yeah, it's a way of describing, right, that that vibration will create its own result, right? But when you layer it through a consciousness of judgment, like we do in a lot of the, you know, the Western religions, it comes off as sin and punishment, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. So these are things like, not that things like karma have not been helpful. We're not saying that, just that when you step into the Divine Openings world, you're becoming willing to say, let me just suspend all of that stuff, and let me just get to the pure essence of my own large self and my vibration.
And I have to realize that, or I have to say this at this point, that reading her book has made that process very much easier for me, running into what I know is a karmic situation and having it be able to go bloop.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's proof. Proof is in the pudding.
I found similarly, even though I was, you know, personally from my own training with Barbara Brennan, and I was teaching clients about things like, you know, if you recognize a thought that is from an old way of thinking, right? Whether it's, again, ancient mind, whether it's from your own childhood, or, you know, when you recognize a thought that is clearly not aligned with what you want to create or experience, is to let that go. Well, to let it go is to say that is one thing. To actually let it go,
right.
It's something, you know, and I found it with Divine Openings, all of that became easier. You know, there really does seem to be this boost that we get from grace. You know, it just, things are just, there's more ease, more and it becomes easier to do what we want to do, what we know to do.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really true. So you've had some of the same clients before and after, is that right?
Yes, yes.
And have they made huge leaps?
They have made huge leaps. They're already making really great progress. It does feel like Divine Openings accelerates that. That's definitely what I've experienced. You know, one client that comes to mind in particular, she had come to see me before I went to the five-day retreat. And she and I had worked together for maybe about a year, and her life was already moving in a really beautiful direction. She had come to me initially with frustration with where she was working. And so we were, you know, so we focused a lot on her intentions and, you know, again, where she's focusing and not getting lost in placing blame outside of herself, but, you know, becoming more centered within herself. And so we just, you know, we started working in areas that I knew were effective, and they were effective for
mm-hmm.
sure. And in our initial work, she ended up generating without her own, you know, or attracting, I should say, a job offer. I mean, she actually moved within that organization. She moved from one job that she really didn't like into one that she loved and one that she had intended and had visualized. And, you know, she really had just given herself permission to want what she really wanted, to believe that she could create that, and she did. So she moved from one position to another, which was deeply satisfying. And then she received an offer to move into a whole different organization, much more powerful position, much more visible, and even more aligned with the kind of work she truly wanted to do.
And were you doing body work at that time with her, like the Barbara Brennan style of Hands of Light?
I wasn't doing hands-on, but I was teaching her some energetic things, like how to align your intention. The intention piece is the thing that I think Barbara Brennan does brilliantly. She teaches intention as a whole separate dimension, or distinct, not separate, distinct dimension of our existence. Different from the chakras, different from the energy field.
You mean it's outside of our third dimension entirely?
Yes, and in the Barbara Brennan world, in the way she illustrates and teaches things. And so that work has been particularly powerful for me, this understanding of intention as its own dimension of our existence, and it has different aspects to it. So with this particular client, we're focusing a lot on that dimension. So I was using my Barbara Brennan training with her. And then after Divine Openings, you know, we still continued with the same, you know, she's giving herself permission to want what she wants. She's focusing on what she's creating rather than what's upsetting her. But with Divine Openings, wow, she moved into the organization that she was hired into was actually heavily bureaucratic. You know, the kind of environment that most people find confining. But her, through Divine Openings, you know, through her ongoing work, including Divine Openings, her vibration, like her energy field became so coherent and so pure and so powerful. She was able to affect change in an organization that was just miraculous.
Wow, isn't that wonderful?
Truly, I mean, she became, you know, kind of the central figure in a huge project that, and this was a nonprofit, actually government organization, so it had to be funded. She generated funding for this immense project that was, it was far-ranging. This huge project was literally shifting everything from the ground up, from a fear-based, people hiding in their silos, not talking to each other, blame-based culture to one of openness and respect and... It was huge.
So she was radiating. She was bringing grace in, I would say, but it looks like she was radiant with her releasing.
She truly was. I mean, this woman, yeah, I just love just even being in her presence. She just gets it, you know. She got it. She gets it. She lives it. She could walk into that kind of a place. And Lola uses the term being the most powerful component that, you know, because energy is, you know, we're influencing each other and being influenced by each other all the time. And in any given interaction, there's usually one energy that's more powerful, one that's doing the influencing.
Mm-hmm.
And she became so powerful that she could influence.
Well, it's interesting you say it that way, because I go, yeah, it's easy for someone who's really down and heavy to influence people as well, right?
It depends on who's around them, right? You're right. The influencing can happen in any direction.
But we can choose that, right?
We can choose that, right. And that becomes part of the power of our intention. Like, you know, to intend to have a high vibration and to intend for that vibration to be coherent and powerful.
And to nurture others around you.
Yes.
To the whole.
Yes.
Well, this is very exciting, eh? So, and for yourself, okay, so you're, okay, I go back to you. I'm going, okay, you're running this wonderful teaching and personal service and so on. And did yours quantum leap? Did yours make a huge change?
I wouldn't say quantum, but it significantly increased,
mm-hmm.
for sure. Absolutely it has. Although, you know, this year, interestingly, I'm plateauing, but I know that I can sense there's a new wave coming, that there's the next wave coming. I'm not quite sure what that looks like yet,
mm-hmm.
But yes, it did in my own world as well, almost immediately.
So talk about grace.
Mm.
What do you feel like, for example, when we how do we all of a sudden receive grace? Is it because we've released? Is it because we've hit a different paradigm? Is it because we've dropped all our baggage? What is the deal?
Wow, that's a great question, Veronica. I'm not sure I would have an answer that's going to be
Nobody
satisfying.
Does, but let's put
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right here.
We're exploring, Suzanne.
Yeah, we are. I know. So I do feel that grace is always available, right? It's just, it's part of the high vibration energy soup that we're in at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're learning to do is to open in a way that grace can infiltrate our own energy. Do you know, we can literally let it in.
And then so is it like opening a tap? Is it like, opening receptors that don't have to close? Is it, what is it?
That feels, what you said, the second piece feels a little more like opening receptors.
Mm.
Yes. Opening receptors. And again, I don't know if this is remotely accurate, if we could actually, you know, witness this in some, through some instrumentation, but it, yes, it, but energetically, vibrationally, intuitively, it feels like becoming relaxed. Our feel, I think what happens is our feel, our own energy fields, they start to vibrate or flow in a way that now is in harmony with grace. You know, there's a whole principle of energy called harmonic induction or entrainment. So like frequencies resonate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're, as you mentioned, somebody who's, dark, heavy, their vibration is such that even though grace is all around them, you know, their own vibration is such that there's not a resonance with grace.
Well, you know what's really funny is not very long ago, I watched Woodstock. I think it was its 25th year of anniversary or something. And I was so shocked because as an intuitive, I hadn't looked at things this way, which is probably true about all of us in many ways, right? You don't look at things in an expanded way. But anyway, I watched as Jimi Hendrix, for example, played in this movie, and I watched the fields and frequencies break apart. To allow more people to feel beyond, to feel more potential. It's like it ripped, it tore. Many of them did that. They ripped and tore kind of membranes. That's how I saw it.
Wow.
And
wow.
So what you're saying, it kind of dovetails with that, does it not?
I think it does. And I just got chills when you described that.
And I told you, I was way down the road when I saw that for the first time, you know, like, wow, I see what they did. And probably that's why they all left the planet when they were, you know, big job, big job, right?
Job.
And so when you said about the person who was depressed, and we close off and hunker down in our depression quite often, don't we? Instead of
opening up. And that's, I love the, in Divine Openings, there's just such an emphasis on softening, opening, relaxing, allowing, which is, of course, when we're feeling terrible, we don't want to do that. But and yet, that's the direction to go. You know, that's how we encourage our energy to start to lift it.
Well, we want to protect ourselves, don't we? We think we want to protect, and it works the reverse, right?
Yes.
We
yeah.
kind of stew ourselves in a heavy crucible.
Do and from the old from the chakra paradigm, you know, when chakras are open, that means that they are in training, pulling energy in from the universal energy field. So they're literally, so we're being nourished. We're being fed when our chakras are open. But when we're in trauma, we shut down. We close those receptors, those centers, and then so now we're not able to receive physically or, you know, energetically able to receive. But that's what fear does.
Guess what? You're making it all very manageable the way you're talking. And it's wonderful, you know. That's the difference in paradigms, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is.
So as we open and divine grace comes through, it's easier. Are you saying it's easier to let go? It's easier to trust. It's easier to expand. It's easier to include our intentions in every step.
Yes, I think that's exactly what I'm saying. And even saying that, I will tell you that it's not perfect. I mean, I certainly have still had bumps and wobbles around all those things, as have my clients. But it's easier. There's just more ease. The grace really creates this,
So tell me about the value of emotion.
That's something else that's been, I think Lola does a really great job at helping us understand. So in the world of Divine Openings, I think this is true for Abraham Hicks as well, the Law of Attraction gurus, you know, mm-hmm. that emotion is our indicator of how aligned we are with our large self. And so the idea of a large self is that part of us that is divine, you know, our own spark of the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're contracted, when we're in fear or anger, our the small self is more dominant, the part of us that sees ourselves as separate and is operating at a lower vibration. So emotions are the way that we know kind of where we are. And in Divine Openings, Lowell has created something called the instrument panel, which, as you know, is just, it just displays the emotional continuum from the bottom, you know, despair, grief, depression, all the way up through, you know, anger, revenge, frustration, boredom, all the way up to bliss and ecstasy at the very top. Mm. And the idea, the understanding is that it has to do with our sense of personal power. And so when we're in the lower vibrations, it's an indicator that's, they feel bad. Those lower emotions feel bad because they're meant to tell us, oh, you're not aligning with your large self. This is not how your large self sees things. You know, it's just, so they're meant to get our attention. And when we're down there, we feel powerless. As we learn ways to lift our vibration, then we experience different emotions. Those emotions are indicators that, yeah, we're becoming more into alignment with how our large self sees things.
Can you give us an example of how to move up the ladder by choice? So you have a dark, heavy emotion, and you want to get to a much higher frequency or a much higher happiness. What would you do?
The first thing I would do is to feel the feeling. This is something else. This is something that came through my Barbara Brennan training, and it's also something Lola offers in a particularly helpful way. She calls it diving in. Mm-hmm. So when we're feeling badly, we tend to do one of two things. We tend to either wallow. In other words, we keep thinking about what's happening in our lives and stoking that feeling.
Trying to figure it out.
We're upset about it. We're in the story of it. You know, we're thinking about it in a way that keeps stoking that feeling.
Right.
We tend to either do that or we do what I call the paste over. We just try to ignore it altogether and pretend that we're okay.
Which is a big problem because if we go back to physical health, that's trap it, don't we?
We do. So the kinder alternative here is, and the new paradigm alternative is to pause, recognize, oh, I'm feeling this way because I'm just somehow not seeing things the way my large self sees them. So I'm going to suspend my own story about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
As convincing as it is, and just feel this feeling. I'm just going to breathe through this. I'm going to come into my body where it lives. I'm going to feel this feeling all the way through. There's a beautiful alchemy that occurs when we bring our own loving awareness to our own emotion. The energy of the emotion itself will find its highest expression, so its vibration will actually lift.
So instead of being in that energy, we're listening to it to feel, see, and know what it is teaching us. Is that right?
Not quite. We're actually in it. Simply with willingness, with compassion, with attention.
Okay.
And the vibration itself changes, like the frequency changes. This is the power of our attention. This is one of the things that we're learning in quantum physics, that our attention itself.
Attention, yes, of course.
Is a huge transformative force. So as we bring our attention to the emotion itself, not the story, and there's an art to this, right, but not the words, but the actual feeling, the energy of the emotion, our attention, that's the alchemy, will create a shift in the energy itself.
So I noticed that Lola's very clear about get help by getting body work if you need it, but mm-hmm. don't get energy done. Can you explain that?
That comes from understanding that there are just so many different frequencies of energy, and when you're receiving divine openings, your field is being opened to these high frequencies that come through.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be confusing too if you're getting that and you're also getting Reiki or what, you know, I don't know. I'm just picking that as an example. I don't mean to pick on it. But if you're receiving other energy treatments that are introducing energies, it can just be your energy field kind of confused. Like, okay, what's happening here? Like, we can, you know, most of us,
mm-hmm.
once we have one of those spontaneous enlightenment experiences, we need to integrate energy. It's not a slow pace, but to integrate it. Period. There needs to be some time for integration, and not introduce conflicting energies.
Or let it integrate. Would you say it that way? Maybe allow it to take a new level.
Yes, exactly.
Well, what do you think about destiny? is...
I don't think much about destiny. Where I am currently, this, you know, this is, it's just that I really feel like we're here to experience joy. We're here to know who we are in this dimension, in this physical dimension. And okay. So I think that if we use the word destiny, the way I see it is what we want, our desires, that's calling us to our highest path. So we can call that destiny for sure. You know, uh-huh. Our joy, I really do believe that that's the evolutionary impulse within us, what we want to create, to experience, to give, to share.
And as we're in it, we can feel more fulfilled. Is that right?
Yes. I just think it's such a beautifully designed system, because what I most want mm-hmm. to create, experience, to share is the perfect thing for me to give to the world. You know, so I'm fulfilled and I'm being of service at the same time. It's all one and the same. So, and that doesn't have to be in terms of a job. That could be, you know, that could be a relationship. It could be any role that we're in. But still, I just think that our passion, our longings, our joy, that's our destiny. In other words, that's calling us to our particular expression in this lifetime.
Hmm. Lola has a fair amount to say in her book about people who want the ultimate relationship. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? That's the fun part, right?
Fun part. No, well, say more about what aspect that interests you. Do you mean
okay.
the relationship
well,
herself?
I just feel, all right, I'll lead the question here. I felt like so many people, and I find this in my work as well, people are really aching and longing, I've done this as well, for the ultimate relationship. And she is pretty clear that the relationship is with the unseen or with Source.
Yes.
And it's a really huge learning to get that way. And that's the most important thing. And I like that a lot.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. She probably said it more poetically, but I'm thumbnailing it for you, with you.
Yeah, no, that's really beautifully done. And that actually has been a realization that I've had even before discovering Divine Openings, that the relationship with self is primary and foundational, and the relationship with the divine, like that provides the basis upon which our human relationships can flourish. So,
and it's being love and being fulfilling in love rather than finding an external rapport that can bring up your love. Does that make sense?
It does. And yet, here's the paradox of being in this three-dimensional existence. You know, we you're right. There seems to be a pretty universal human longing to connect with someone deeply special. And I think that's okay. You know, I think that's okay. I mean, Lola herself knew she wanted that. Mm-hmm. She developed a way of relating to that longing that was just like, of course I'll have that. And right now I'm focusing on loving myself, you know, and just enjoying.
But that alone takes the desperation or the sadness or the longing. All of that is not neutralized, but is shifted by that, isn't it?
Is, yes. And of course, as you know, she did end up, she has attracted an amazing partner in her life, and mm-hmm. they have a tremendously healthy, uplifting relationship. So it's the beauty of the both and. So if we focus on relationship with self and with the divine, that puts us in our best position to create also the physical relationship that's most nourishing.
I know, I tease people because they'll say, you know, it's not all about you. And I go, well, actually, it is. And then people go, oh my, I don't want to be selfish. I go, well, it starts here, right?
It does.
And I, that's why I really enjoyed that part of her teachings. I also am fascinated as an intuitive to see, I see this with people, I see it with myself, I see it with our conversation today and even you, how the out picturing, so intention is one thing where you create the out pictures in some ways and the in pictures, but we change the out picturing radically, don't we, as we let go. So it's like you ratchet yourself up or, you know, more in cahoots with the divine as opposed to your own mind, right?
Yeah. And in fact, intention itself, the way I have come to work with it, understand it, teach it is more about quality of experience. I don't use intentions and goals to interchangeably the way a lot of people do. So, the intentions are more about the quality of experience, and that's and when you focus on that, I want to feel alive, I want to feel respected, I want to feel healthy, whatever it might be. I want to feel loved. What's the quality of the ongoing experience that you want? When you focus on that as an intention, like this is what I'm intending to create an experience. That does give a lot of room, right? You don't without being overly specific and trying to,
instead of saying it looks like this, sounds like this. Yeah, I see what you mean. It's back to the feelings. The feelings are expanding, right?
Yes. Yes.
So that does you do you? All right. This is another bizarre question, which I think you'll appreciate. Let's talk about death. Let's talk about dying. Does Lola speak about that? Is that something you bring up in your work?
Not a lot, I have to say. Now, I do remember at my 5-day, on the 5th day, after when we were able to speak again, we were talking about that. And I remember Lola saying that fundamentally, people, are choosing their death, whether it's consciously or not, and it's for one of two reasons. Either they really, it is conscious, and they are literally ready to move on. The way Deepak Chopra's father did, and I think other yogis have done that. Many people have done that. So it's either a conscious choice that I'm finished, I feel complete here in this from this lifetime, I'm ready to move on, or it's simply the most effective way to release resistance. That we've become at some level so resistant and energy so kind of stagnated that it becomes the simplest, most elegant way to release resistance.
Because we can't just respawn like they do in video games, right? Well, it's interesting because I heard that some of the Rinpoches, because of the artful ways in which they release old beliefs, et cetera, after they pass, they don't get rigor mortis. And that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
wow.
I think that's a brilliant image. I go, wow, that's such a good teaching tool, isn't it?
Yeah. And I don't know if you've read, have you ever heard of Anita Morjani?
I've heard of her, but I haven't read her yet. I think I saw something on TED Talk or something.
Now she's an internationally known best-selling author, and I interviewed her.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
She had cancer. She had stage 4 cancer, and she
I read her book and so on.
You read the book. Okay, it's called Dying to Be Me,
right?
My journey from cancer to near death to true healing. And so she has a perspective on dying that's just awesome. And so if any of the listeners haven't read her book, I highly recommend it. And I have an interview with her on my website. It was just delightful.
Well, I shall listen to that. But I wondered if that's wonderful news. Thanks, Suzanne. And also, I wondered if Lola said very much about death. I'll tell you, the reason I'm asking that is because quite often lately, I'm seeing people who are embodying a conscious multidimensionality that when they go through, they appear to have a terrific amount of agility and connection on all sides, like on this dimension and those dimensions. And I'm thinking it's part of the awakening process.
Wow. That's, as you say that makes perfect sense to me. This is not an area that I spend a lot of time contemplating or observing, but that makes a lot of sense to what you just said. Yeah.
It's just really interesting to me, always an exploration. Well, we're almost done, and you're absolutely a delightful interviewee, and I think we've pushed you through many different wonderfully responded to questions, and I've enjoyed it so much.
I have too. I just, if I may, I think I cut myself off in terms of the Anita story. I just wanted for your listeners to know that she went through a near-death experience, profound, and the experience itself healed her of all cancer. That was just the most amazing. Her story is amazing, and she
it is. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Just so you know what we were talking about, she had a near-death experience that actually healed her of terminal cancer. So. It's pretty amazing, and the insights she gained from being in that other dimension were deeply uplifting and comforting.
And she had a terrific number of tumors. Everything was going wrong in her little body, right?
gosh, yes. Yes, she was ravaged by tumors and open sores. And, oh, it was, yes, she was within hours away from dying. Her organs were shutting down.
Yeah. That was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, just truly amazing.
This near-death experience stuff has opened those windows for so many people these days that I think it's a part of this time, isn't it?
It is. Yes, I agree. That's part of how, this acceleration is taking place, that these kinds of experiences are reaching people that wouldn't otherwise have been reached through, a New Age movement,
Oh, yeah. And my father, who was hardly a New Ager and didn't really admire what I propound or, he had one at 92.
Ow.
He was leaving. And he went through this whole thing and he said everything, he called each one of his kids in and he said, everything is light. And I had everything in boxes. There are no boxes. We're all one. And so he said, I'm going to stay because I hadn't realized how much I love everyone. So I need to experience that before I go.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
I know. So it's like,
that is just awesomely beautiful.
Yeah. So, not meaning to take it back to me, but I've so enjoyed this conversation. Love to play in the fields of infinite change, infinite expansion, and infinite love with you. Thank you.
Thank you. And may I give my website address?
Please. I want to hear also any dates of up-and-coming things that you're involved in. People like to know that.
So my website is mysolidground, all one word, mysolidground.com. And I've got several Divine Openings retreats coming up this summer. July 24th, an evening retreat. August 23rd, a one-day retreat. And then in October, the first weekend in October, I'm doing a two-day intensive based on my online course, which is called Loving Yourself to Success and Fulfillment. And it goes all through this, intention and beliefs and intuition and navigating emotions. It's a really comprehensive course. So I hope you'll check out the course also on the website, but the live event will be the first weekend in October.
And where are these, Suzanne?
These are all in Delaware, Wilmington, Delaware, here on the East Coast.
That was the first place I worked in radio, WILM.
Oh, wow. It's a great location because you can get to it easily, from I-95, Amtrak, at the Philadelphia Airport. It's very accessible.
Great. Oh, do you love doing that? So two-day courses and evening courses. How do they really give people a leg up when they're short like that?
They do. This is what's so great about them, because they're focused, and they all have different values, but with the intention as it is, we can really go deeply quickly,
mm-hmm.
and people do experience breakthroughs. Now, I certainly encourage them to have a couple of private sessions with me if they need to afterwards to keep that momentum going, but always necessary.
Oh, this is just so wonderful. If I were closer, I would come. But I'm going to the 5-day first, and then we'll commiserate.
We'll celebrate, actually.
I'll meet you in the ethers. How's that? We'll meet each
Sounds
other
great.
In different dimensions. So, Suzanne Eder, you're just a wonderful, wonderful person with all the different levels of learning and then finding a way to, just pole vault past even that. Thanks.
Thank you. What a pleasure.
What a pleasure for me. Thank you so much. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying, any feedback? Well, you can write to me, veronicaentwistle.com, and the Ask Veronica button is available to you. But also, check out Suzanne Eder's, www.mysolidground.com. Sounds like the solid ground has got many dimensions to it. And talk to her about sessions or just what you want to learn about your amazing potential. Good night, everyone.